Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway. Oh, wow.
Simply the best. Better than all the rest.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games. Right here.
For King G, where comfort is king.
2, 3, 4. Hey, ho, let's go. Triple M rocks the NRL.
Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
As we count down towards kickoff, the Cowboys taking on the Knights. It is with great pleasure that we welcome. In fact, I'm going to serenade him in virtually to the studio because a very important moment for
really?
Peter Sterling. Yeah, I won't do it by myself. I'll do it with the help of these people. No, so they do it very quietly. I built that up so beautifully. Where were you? Liverpool got the job done. Well, Manchester got the job done by being beaten by Chelsea.
Chelsea got the job done. I knew you'd get there eventually. What about, did you see the footage of the Liverpool boys? They were, at a golf club watching the Chelsea-Man City game type thing. And when they realised, no. 30 years long wait, Tony. I know this is a rugby league program, but let's it's a lot of late nights, a lot of early mornings, and it's fantastic. And what a season in regards to the fact that what, you know, everybody's gone through, it'll be remembered. But they're also, you know, Champions League champions. They're the World Club champions as well. And I think what an organisation, when you hear You'll Never Walk Alone, you immediately think of, like, it's the greatest sporting anthem in the world. You know, and it would have been nice if we'd have got to play it, but there we go.
There we go.
See, Jerry and the Pacemakers.
We had a plan. Jerry and the Pacemakers.
That worked really well. The strange thing is, like, it's actually a theme out of stage play Carousel, a Rodgers and Hammerstein stage play many years ago type thing.
Yeah.
But now it's associated with the Cop and Liverpool FC, and it's...
Did you catch up? Have you spoken to the great Craig Johnson, of course, who have played there, the Aussie boy? Have you spoken to him?
I was in contact with him yesterday, and, obviously he's extremely excited. As I said, I was at Anfield earlier this year, and, they were all delighted with the way it was going on. And somebody like Jurgen Klopp, he got the club straight away. To come in and after, you know, they've had so many former players like Graham Souness, Kenny Dalglish, all of those guys that coached there. So to have bring a German in and kind of an outsider, but he had a relationship with the fans and the way that he spoke about the club and that he endeared himself to everybody. And the success has followed. He's been successful wherever he's been. So it's wonderful.
Maybe you can back it up and do the double for 30 years waiting. Some blue and gold glory.
If the Parramatta boys could do a victory lap at the end of October, they could take me in Manal State after Origin. They could take me in December. I could go to McGrave a happy man, Tony. That would be good.
Get that. I love that passion. Yeah,
just quickly before we move on, you're an ideas man, mate, the socks.
Yeah, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'm thinking, why stop there? You know, you can get composite jerseys these days as well, the half and half. Why would you just stop there?
For those who don't know, it was just a little idea. I ran past the team and got absolutely shouted down. It was the notion that if you've signed for another team next year, you should wear their socks this year. Mm. So Tyson Frizzell will be running around in the Dragons gear, but with the Newcastle Knights. Just a thought.
And the general consensus was
that's an idiot.
A terrible idea.
Yeah, no, I think that's probably where we are with that. All right, what have you taken out of the games you've seen so far, Sterl, this weekend?
Roosters fantastic again last night, second week in a row. They've been in a position down a couple of points and right up against it as they were against Parramatta after 60 minutes and found a way to get out of trouble again. And they just, you know, they do it so well. Their heads never go down. They remain positive. They're prepared to go out every time and know that if they have to win it in the 80th minute, that's what they can do. I guess, you know, the big thing coming out, there was almost when we spoke to Trent Robinson after the game, look, obviously delighted with the win. He called it incredible. And rightly so, but there was that sort of pall of gloom in losing the two young players. And I guess, you know, we're looking at the ramifications. There's no doubt it will have an effect on Kyle Flanagan because Victor Radley has made his job so much easier. But it probably puts a bit more pressure, I would think, Brownie, on Jake Friend as well when you've got Sam Verrill's the backup and Victor Radley's played out of dummy half in the past.
Well, if Jake Friend needed a spell, which Jake Friend plays tough, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Like, he's puts every minute into every game he's out there. So you know, Robbo's probably had the opportunity with Sam Verrill's been such a terrific recruit, like whoever found him.
Started him last night.
Yeah, done a wonderful job, and he obviously started the grand final and was tremendous, scored that early try in the grand final. And excuse me, but I think the Roosters are going to be fine, but what you're saying, Sulu, is they can't afford to lose Jake Friend, or they can't afford to lose Luke Keary now, where before they probably could have lost Friendy and still won. They can't lose Keary, though.
No, that's no. And I imagine probably Nat Butcher might be the backup.
Yep. He said last night Isaac Liu or Nat Butcher.
But out of dummy half.
I don't know whether Liu would come out. Yeah, potentially.
Robbo's used Mitch Orbison there a little bit in the past.
He's a man. He's always been important, but now.
Yeah, so he can play, and he actually did a tidy job from maybe about 3 years ago. They actually, obviously, the coach and staff, someone put some time in. You could see that his dummy half work was adequate, So he'd be someone that would probably help give Friendy a bit of a break, you know. But like, what a club when you can lose two blokes of that calibre and you still think, we all still think they can win the comp, yeah? A lot of clubs would just go, you're finished now, next year you have to wait for.
A lot of clubs would have got beaten last night.
100% they would have been.
If you haven't heard the news as yet, there was some concern about Bankwest Stadium and the playing surface, given those injuries. And as I said, Jacob Host also from the Dragons, he pulled a hamstring in the warm-up before the game. But there was an inspection this morning and it was cleared to play. So we'll be getting more. I think there's two more games across the weekend at Bankwest Stadium.
Yep, Dogs and Tigers tomorrow night as well. There was a bit of a confusion. Trent Robinson came out and said in the press conference that they had not lodged an official complaint, but I think it was more the trainer had come off and said that the players were saying it was is a bit sticky, so and the, potentially a bit of confusion and thinking that the Roosters made an official complaint. But I thought Trent Robinson handled himself incredibly well. He was very measured. He could have come out and he would have been emotional that he's lost to these two young players, but he didn't come out and blame the surface and just said that's not his issue and he doesn't care about what happens with the surface. So, but that's typical Trent Robinson. He's classy and in what was a tough night and didn't come out and point the finger at the surface.
Are you saying someone made a lie up in the media about...
We never do that. It was probably Brent Reed. It was probably Reedy.
Oh, he's a good man, Reedy.
I'm sure he cared about the surface, but he said that it's not his expertise.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, there are people who know about that. So, you know, that's he doesn't make comments on things that he doesn't know, does he?
No. You look like a fool then, don't you?
Yeah.
Speaking of classy acts, so we mentioned at the very top of the show how classy I thought Cameron Smith, Craig Bellamy, Ryan Hoffman were going into the Warriors dressing room. They were clearly incredibly deflated, and not just about their performance, but about how, you know, their life is going on at the moment. For those guys to go in there and talk to them, it speaks volumes, doesn't it?
Well, it does, and it's no surprise. You know, I, those kind of individuals, obviously, you know, Hoffman was a former Warriors player as well, so, you know, he knows about the organisation. But, you know, we've seen the best and the worst of everything, haven't we, over the last couple of months?
Yeah.
And social media is a great example of it. I've seen some of the most, and I'm not into social media, but my daughter shows me stuff and you just think, how clever, you know. And but then you've got the other end of it as well. And I think, you know, we've seen the best and the worst of you know, the players as well, I suppose, to some degree, you know. And certainly the best is what we're talking about here in this regard. And look, you know, I wasn't surprised by the Warriors' performance, unfortunately. And, you know, it's difficult, but it is the nature of our beast. And, you know, I heard the guys talking earlier about the Warriors. You know, they've been in the season, in the competition 25 years, and they've only played finals football 8 times, you know, so it's not the conversion rate it should have at that club. Do you change a coach and get, you know, something different straight away? No, you don't. And, you know, that it's a misnomer that when a coach changes that the side wins the following week. That's just not the case, you know. So it'll be interesting. You know, Todd Payton's in there now and he'll do his best, but, man, I'd hate to be a Warriors player away from home, not winning matches, haven't seen the, you know, it's terribly. So, I, you know, hopefully they got some solace out of the opposition recognising that, but, you know, now it's down. They got to train again hard this week and get ready for next weekend. Well, that's,
would that make it, is it just something that we say, oh, what a nice gesture? Or do you think those players, it really, do you think that could make a difference to their performance next week with having Cameron Smith and Craig Bellamy come in? And we don't know exactly what was said, but how much of an effect do you think that?
I think it makes this week a little bit easier. Yeah. I don't know whether it helps them next, like in the game itself, but I think they feel a bit better about themselves. I think that, you know, whenever you get complimented for a sacrifice by anyone. It's got to be a positive thing for you. How long you carry that for, I don't know. But I think they'd get something out of it. And
Well, there were three or four players, weren't there, who were thinking about going home. They've now decided that they're not going. They will stick with the Warriors while that's happening.
Hey, Tony, Brent Reed is still listening. Just blamed Reedy for making up that rumour about the surfers.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I wasn't even there. I only make up rumours about players and coaches. What a disgrace.
Outstanding.
So thanks for admitting you make stuff up, Reedy, and thanks for listening as always.
Sterlo, the eighth immortal, Andrew John, said that Nathan Cleary's game was the best in Panthers colours.
Well, I'm not going to argue with Andrew Johns. He sees the game, especially when it comes to number sevens, better than anybody. He was fantastic, but I think it's a continuation of his form this year, really.
Yeah.
I think he's great. I'm with the guys. I think if the Origin side was selected this week, he'd be the number seven. And, you know, he's kind of the incumbent. I know that Mitchell Pearce was there for game three last year, but Nathan was there for the first two games and before that as well. So, yeah, look, they're a youngish side as well. I know that, you know, there's guys like James Tarmo on that there, but there's a lot of responsibility on Nathan Cleary's shoulders.
Yep.
He's had, you know, some distractions early on. He missed a couple of games there and he's come in and he hasn't missed a beat. And I think that he's enjoying the way that Penrith play, but also the fact that the way the game is now suits Penrith. You know, they've got a very mobile and very, very aggressive pack. He likes playing flat. He likes to run the football. And he's got a real confidence about him. I don't know how having a zit between your eyes affects your goal kicking the way that it did. They need to.
It was a big one, though.
But even when he mishit the first, like he dead set chunked the first one, it still hit the post.
Yes.
So you're travelling okay, aren't you?
Yeah.
Like your miss kick hits the upright.
Speaking of hitting it sweetly, any holes in one at the golf course this week, Sterlo?
No, but I'm assuming you saw the Daily Telegraph Wednesday morning with the results for Castle Hill Tuesday.
No, how'd you go?
Oh, Tony, you shouldn't have asked. it's just, that might have been a little victory. I got wages, Tony.
Wow, a victory for Liverpool.
It's been a big week, hasn't
Everything's
it?
Coming up, Sterlo. This is a Saturday Scrum, thanks to King G.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Great to have your company. Sterlo's with us, Emma Lawrence. My name's Tony Squires. Nathan Brown is around. Gerds rejoins us in about 20 minutes, heading towards kickoff. All right, score more value this NRL season with a Ladbrokes same game multi. Combine all your favourite markets into one big bet. But remember, gamble responsibly. Tom Hackett joins us. G'day, Tom.
Hello, Tony.
Yeah, it's not been a good old time for the Cowboys of late. Any chance for them against the Knights, according to the punters?
No, punters are not keen on the Cowboys at all here. They've been pretty much friendless. They're out to $3.25. All the money has come for the Newcastle Knights. They're now into $1.38.
Well, one thing we do know is we are going to get a Queensland winner here. That's outside of a draw, yes, which is still a win anyway. Broncos-Titans. I'm assuming the Broncos are favourites?
They are the favourites here, Sterlo. Broncos are pretty solid with the punters. They're into $1.42. A little bit of money around for the Titans, though. Their recent record against the Broncos isn't too bad, and they're into $3.
And I'm sure the Eels are happy that Bankwest Stadium got the tick of approval. So who do the punters think will win this one between them and the Raiders?
This one should be a ripper, Emma. The Eels are the favourites at $1.72. But the late money so far is coming for the Canberra Raiders. They're into $2.20. And based on what we're seeing at the moment, they should start shorter than that.
Tom Hackett, as ever, thank you so much. Score more value this NRL season with the Ladbrokes same game multi. Combine all your favourite markets into one big bet. Gamble responsibly. Stella, now I know you are very loath to talk about the 80s and Parramatta when we've got a new Parramatta side who are making their own history as we speak. But just in terms of we take the Parramatta side from the 80s that you played on, the notion of going back to back to back, it's what everybody's talking about at the moment, the three-peat for the Roosters, because they're just playing so damn well. What are the things, the obvious things, you know, you become the hunted, all of those things. What are the, when you've got two down and thinking about that third, how tough is it?
Well, firstly, the big difference between the two, Tony, is that these days you pay for your success more than you did back then. Now, you look at the Rooster side, who have they, there's no Latrell Mitchell there, there's no Cooper Cronk, you know, that's, you pay for your success more now because you basically can't afford to keep players and, you know, you do have player movement. When we were successful back in the early 80s, we pretty much had the same side out there.
For three grand finals?
Yeah, I don't think there'd be too many changes. There'd be some, you know, different positions, but quality players as well. So to me, that's always been the big difference in trying to be successful so much more in the modern era, and that's why the window of opportunity is so small. But the plus is you've got to have the right – a lot of things have got to go your way to win a premiership, you know, and we see that, you know, the Roosters said last night after the game, one of the things you have to have is a healthy roster,
mm-hmm.
And you need your best players in good form at the right end of the season as well. But you've got to have the right balance in experience, in leaders, you know, both on and off the field, some exciting young talent coming through. The coaching is a big part of it as well. And again, so the Roosters are very, very well served in all of those departments. I've never, ever really thought that there was extra pressure on, you know, that you've got a target on your back. You know, if you're a good side and top side, the target's there every week, whether you're the reigning premiers or not. You know, I never really thought that that was a big part of it. But it's difficult to maintain that intensity and that type of performance over a long period of time. But, you know, it comes down, if you've got the right cattle to win, you can do so if a lot of other things fall into place.
Because desire doesn't decrease, I imagine.
No, I don't think so. No, I think, you know, that's, I players I played with, and certainly myself, I had as much desire in my last year, which was my 15th season, I did my first or my second. You know, that's just what you are. You're rugby league players, you've got a job to do, but that's what you love to do as well. And that's the beauty of our game. You know, we're passionate about what we do. And whilst ever's that there, and you know, any success we have in life is in direct proportion to how fiercely the fire burns in our belly. And whilst that fire's burning, you know, you can do anything. And, you know, the Roosters are well placed, but a lot of things have got to go your way. You know, it's, like I say, a healthy roster and, you know, you need luck, even things like that. But the great sides make their own luck. I know that sounds like a bit of a, but that's, you know, it's a cliche, but you do.
Yeah.
We'll know a whole lot more about this competition in the final 7 weeks instead of the first seven.
Do you like them for three?
Oh, at the moment, it's hard to say they're not. You know, the thing that still impresses me is how hungry they are. You know, like Boyd Cordon is playing as good as ever. Like, he's won three premierships, captain of the last two premierships, and like the keenness and the hunger, that's the thing that's sort of stands out for me. You know, that's sort of first class. You know, they've got to give the staff and the leading sort of players some credit there. You know, cause if you look at Liverpool, just obviously, as Sterlo's mentioned, won the soccer, where Pep Guardiola's already said that they weren't as hungry as the year before. Liverpool were hungrier. So that's one of your greatest soccer coaches, at one of your best teams now, actually saying that his team, they weren't as hungry as Liverpool this year.
Trent Robinson, he just continues to impress, doesn't he, on every level. We've played a couple of grabs from him from the media, the conference last night. That's a key, isn't it? I mean, you've had some great coaches, but when you listen to him, is it continually impressive?
I love listening to him.
Yeah.
I could talk to him all day. You know, he just gets it. He knows what it takes. You know, he had a different apprenticeship to a lot of coaches, I suppose, you know, coming through the French system type thing. But obviously his man management is great, and the way that the foresight he puts into, he knows what the goal is, and he knows the steps that it will take to get there. But I love the way that he's looking to have a more rounded individual playing for him than just a football player. And again, you know, I go back to Jack Gibson because I think he was of the same ilk. But it was important to go across and go to the battlefields overseas, and, you know, a sense of history. You know, if you have a more well-rounded individual, you'll get a better sporting person. You know, you get a better player anyway. But he, I think every time you go to a training, you learn something different under Trent Robinson, and that's not just necessarily about the game. It'll be about life, and players, they want to be around that. You know, players are hungry. You know, yeah. They love that kind of stuff, and to be able to deal individually with people whilst making everybody better at the same time, it's not an easy thing to do. But he's just got the right demeanour about it. He's got the right education. You know, I love a bloke who speaks fluent French at home. You know, like there's so much to him.
Well, Gerd's fluent German, of course.
It's not even just the players. Honestly, I feel like every time I sit in on a press conference with Trent Robinson, I feel like I've learned something, whether about life in general, about the game. He's just so intelligent. And we had a chat earlier about what he was saying about coaches and education, but just even this week as well, listening to what how articulate he was when speaking about Kyle Flanagan and about the balance between you want them to express, you want to, he's trying to download a bit of Cooper Cronk into Kyle Flanagan, but that delicate balance between getting Kyle Flanagan to also express who he is and what he wants to be able to do. And just, he's so articulate. I honestly felt like, oh, I want to go and work at the Roosters somehow. I want to work under Trent Robinson. And when you speak to the players, it's hard to find them speak that highly of a coach at another club the way that the Roosters do about Trent Robinson.
Yeah, it's like coming and sitting next to Brownie here and say, mate, yeah. I'll go home and I'll be a
You'll
better,
feel all the better,
better
for it, Sterling. Guaranteed.
Sitting, like looking in the mirror over there. That's,
yeah. Oh, that's not very nice. Oh. Gerd's had a shot at me now. Yeah, yeah. I must be a part of it now.
Might be the hair or lack of.
Whereas when I speak, the world is collectively dumber.
Are you still here?
Yeah, exactly. And when we come back, Brandy, thank you so much once more. Gerd's will rejoin us. We're going to have a quick look at that game that the entire world is waiting to see. The Kangaroos taking on the All Blacks. This is the Saturday Scrum.
Triple M, Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Nice to have your company half an hour before kickoff. Ryan Girdler has walked back into the studio. Sterlo is with us, Emma Lawrence as well. This is a story that I'm intrigued by. There's a lot of buzz about it. The notion of the Kangaroos at the end of this year, after the season proper, after three State of Origin games, would then go on to play a match against the All Blacks. So the All Blacks, obviously all-conquering, one of the great brands in sport around the world. The Kangaroos, clearly a fantastic rugby league team. How do we put these together? Mal Meninga is really keen. I see today that players, under these figures are accurate or real, but $50,000 per player to trot around in this game. They only get $30,000 for State of Origin. So that's a big payday for them. I'm trying to get my head around how we put this thing together, Gerds.
And Pete's not even worried about it. But yeah. I don't really like it, Tony, to be honest. No, I don't, because I think there's certain advantages. I don't know what the concept game will look like.
Yep.
I think there's been a couple of hybrid games they've done over the last, 10 years or so. Mm-hmm. And I've never really heard of one that's worked. I think Wigan might have done it with...
Wigan played Bath, being the champions in rugby. Wigan
and that
rugby
didn't work, did it? Because the scorelines were blowouts.
They played two different games, one with rugby league rules, one with rugby union rules. The rugby league game, I think that Wigan won, was 70-0 up.
Yep.
And eventually they went down and decided to take two players off and play with 11. They still won by the 70.
And they got
beaten by about 30 in the rugby.
And I just think that, you know, there will be advantages that the rugby guys have over the league guys, and they will probably, you know, benefit from those, and we might lose, and I don't want to risk that, so I'm not keen on it.
I just don't understand how it will. They obviously still have to work these things out, but is it hybrid rules, or do you do one half of rugby league, one half of rugby union? In which case, you'd imagine the league
boys
would be.
You learn nothing about either of the games, or either of the. You know, you don't learn whether the Kangaroos are better than the All Blacks, do you?
And the leagueies would get absolutely crushed in.
Yeah, I think it's dangerous to a point in rucks and mauls and scrums and things like that, because, you know, I saw Luke Keary pack into the front row last night for the Roosters at some point, and I wouldn't like to see him pack into one of those rugby scrums.
It's not
work. Nathan Brown was saying he actually went over and did some, like, watched the All Blacks, and he said to watch them scrummage was absolutely terrifying. It was scary. He said that, you know, people could get hurt trying to counteract that. They're completely different games, Tony. I don't even know what a hybrid game is, because the only similarities they have is rugby's in the title. They are completely different games. I'm not quite sure what it's trying to achieve.
I agree with you. I think that's what they're kind of undervaluing the difference in the two codes by saying we can put something together, whether we decide they play 13 a side or 14 a side, or don't we have lineouts but no scrums. I don't know how they go about doing it.
There were times back early 2000s when the Wallabies and the Kangaroos really didn't like each other. They had some personality clashes, and there was a couple of times we were in hotels and there was some rumblings then about, you know, Gordon and the boys wanted to get together and play them. And I think that would have been of more interest, you know, if there was some genuine interest or some dislike amongst the camp and that. But, you know, you got two really good professional organisations.
Still,
whether or not there's trash talk, but Sean Johnson made the point that it would have been made more sense to have the Kiwis play the All Blacks, because at least they're
they grew up with that kind of idea and the passion because, of the All Blacks.
Yeah, and there is that kind of, I mean, everyone over there plays, I know Sean Johnson on a number of occasions has said, everyone plays union over there, and it's this kind of like you're, you know, ooh, you're a bit of a traitor if you go and play rugby league. And I think Benji Marshall changed that for a lot of kids coming through over there than potentially at school would have chosen more league. But I think it would make more sense to have that because, and particularly over there, there is the interest. But I don't really know, does rugby league need that in terms of the interest and publicity? We've got Origin at the end of the year. I think, I don't know, are we fatigued by then?
I will say this though, Tony. We were training once out the back of Penrith Park and in the early 2000s. And one of the Auckland, the Blues, I think it might have been, were actually staying at the Panthers Hotel. And they had a game on at Parramatta Stadium in the Super, I don't know what it was at the time, 15s or whatever it was called. And they walked across and we were training in the back oval. And they were actually going to train on the main oval because maybe they had a game there or whatever it may be. And they walked past us. And we felt like school kids. And we didn't have a small side back then in the early 2000s with Tony Pulitura and Trent Waterhouse and those guys. And we felt like school children. They were huge. They were a good head above the majority of our guys.
They're enormous.
There's your game, Penrith against the Auckland Blue. That's
that works.
We'll get Gerds out there.
That absolutely works. We're going to get to some games that are just through and through rugby league and get Stillo's take on those next on the Saturday Scrum.
Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king.
Triple M rocks footy.
Great to have your company. Let's talk some footy tonight. It is the Eels and the Raiders. It's Bankwest Stadium. As you said earlier, there was some talk about the condition of that field after injuries last night. But all clear has been given. Just a lot of foot traffic on it. So obviously it's a little bit damaged, but all good to go. The Eels and Raiders obviously had a bit of a loss last week. They'll be fired up. What are you thinking, Stirlo?
It's an interesting one. It's a difficult one to line up. Like a lot of people, I'm a little bit concerned about the Eels backing up after what they expended last week, physically and emotionally. But that's no excuse. If you're going to be a top side, you've got to be able to do that. And that's exactly what the Roosters have been able to do. So that's a test for them. And you've got to say, being disappointed in the Raiders, you just felt they had to get Manly last week with what went against them. And it was interesting. Josh Hodgson mentioned a week or two ago, he said that their form hasn't been good anyway, including the Melbourne victory. He said that they're a long way off where they needed to be. No Tarpany, that helps the Eels, but no Brown, that helps the Raiders. So it's a difficult one to line up. I'm not quite sure which way it'll go, but it should be a great contest because I think they're both two really good teams to watch.
There was a lot of talk when the new rule changes that the Raiders would be one of those teams that would impress. They play a quick brand of footy, very attacking orientated. Hasn't quite proven the case.
They haven't clicked into gear. And that Melbourne game, when we came out of lockdown, they were super impressive. But I think it was the West Tigers. They were ordinary. Obviously, the Newcastle Knights sort of put them to the sword. And then last week, that opportunity against Manly there, just with the football. Not getting the best out, just haven't found their groove, aren't in any sort of rhythm. Obviously, other sides also, they've had Nickel Klokstad now. They know what he does at the back. Jack Whiten's been at six for a year. So there's, you know, teams that are coming out prepared for what they do. But defensively as well, I've got some concerns. They got exposed last week, especially on that right side. Curtis Scott on that right edge, he just got eaten up, and Parramatta are really good on the edges. I think I actually think the Eels will come out today and be too good for them. I think they'll take advantage of the poor run of form that the Raiders are in at the moment.
Are you concerned, Stirlo, about the fact that Nathan Brown, we know how aggressive he is, but another suspension now? I mean, how do you try and, if you're Brad Arthur, to find balance between... You don't want to coach out that aggression.
No. The last thing in the world you want to do is change his game. He's just got to be smarter with it. And that's exactly what the coach said, you know, that's his main attraction is the physical nature that he plays. But it's getting to the stage now when you start to get the rap sheet that he and some other players in the competition have, even the most minor of indiscretions puts you on the sideline. And, you just can't afford to have him there. Well, that'll be four weeks now. So he's just got to learn. You know, you want him to go in and play the way that he does. But he's just going to be, you can't be throwing the arms around the way that he has because the ramifications are just too strong. I'm a huge fan of Nia Corre. I'm sure that he will come in to that position. He plays a completely different game to Nathan Brown. But in another way, they don't lose much there because I think he's an outstanding young player and been a real quiet achiever for them. But Brown, you know, he's been good with the football, and when they've needed a lift, it's either been a run or a tackle that has lifted the side. I think it's a wonderful clash. I'm really looking forward to this because I don't quite know what to expect. If they're both at their very best, it'll be a classic. But both are probably still trying to, like I say, for the Eels to back up last week's game is something that they haven't done successfully in the past. Is the 2020 side better at doing that? We're about to find out.
That's Eels and Raiders, 7:30 tonight. Broncos, Titans, of course, at 5:30, and the Cowboys and the Knights kick off there in just 16, 17 minutes. We'll get back, have a look at that after this. Saturday Scrum, we're from thanks to King G, where comfort is king. Sterlo is with us, Gerds, M, and Tony. All right, before we get to these two games, the Cowboys and Knights and the Broncos and Titans, Pete, I just want to play you because I enjoyed it so much. We've got, it's not really a cut down version of Wayne Bennett's post game press conference. All of the words are included. A couple of little awkward pauses have been taken out just so we can fit the 88 seconds into this.
Wayne, errors and ill discipline, was there anything that made you think that was coming tonight?
No, Wayne's for that, so you don't think it's coming.
The set restart 7-2 against you, or was that balanced out tonight?
7-2 doesn't balance out, so.
What do you make of the rulings on the set restarts?
They just control the ball better than we did, give themselves a better field position, and that's the opportunities you get. We didn't have a lot of field position, so.
Did you have trouble with the Sin Binnings one?
Yeah.
Adam Reynolds, how's his hamstring?
How's his what?
Hamstring, is it?
I don't know. It's too bad. But I don't know what's wrong with him.
Were there any concerns with Damien as well? Was it his knee at one stage? Cookie at one stage, was it his knee at one stage?
Oh, he's okay.
He's okay.
He plays with the opposition, Wayne, but Nathan Cleary's performance tonight?
I wasn't watching Nathan Cleary, to be honest with you.
Played pretty well, though, mate. Pretty control game.
Well, please, for him, he's a good player.
Can't argue with any of that.
So good. 7-2 doesn't balance out.
The awkward pause that you cut out, are they awkward for us or awkward for Wayne?
I don't think he was awkward at all. He doesn't care.
It calls a spade a spade.
He does, doesn't he? It was interesting, and as Em pointed out, there were some performances in his dressing shed he probably didn't want to talk about, and nobody's talking about that.
See, I think in press conference, the one thing I always listen for is questions being asked. You can't make a statement and leave the person only a yes or no answer. I think when you walk in those situations, the only thing you can do is say, Wayne, what did you make of tonight? And then just
sit back.
See where he goes, you know, like, and that you're not putting words in him, you're not making statements at him.
Yeah.
Because if you make statements at him, he's either just going to say, yeah, you're right, or no, I disagree. And that's it.
You have to have open-ended questions to Wayne, and he's good as a journalist. I think he teaches you a lot because you have to be prepared. You have to go in with solid questions. And there have been times at journos, you go in there and you have to think, okay, what could he possibly say back to this? So if he's going to give you a one-word answer or just say why a player's not playing, follow up, but why not? Are they not fit enough? All of this. You have to be ready with the follow-ups because, and it actually...
Well, Matty Rustling took the first three hit-ups bravely, I thought, running into the teeth.
I've always sat back and listened, and I've wanted a case to do this when the question will be, great win tonight, Wayne, you must be delighted. I want someone to come out and say, well, no, I back the opposition, whatever, you know, like, what else are they going to say?
What are they going to say? All right, just quickly before we get to kick off, before Broncos, Titans, Gerds, who wins?
I think the Broncos bounce back. I think they'll get it done.
Key, crucial game. The Titans will give themselves a little bit of a chance.
If the passes stick and all of those kind of things, that they can trouble them. Yeah. Surely the Broncos.
Yeah. All right, Sterlo, the game you're about to call, the Cowboys and Knights. I can't believe that the Knights on the bench, Tex Hoy. Now, that's a Cowboys name, if you've ever heard one. He's playing in the for the wrong team.
Yeah.
who gets the job done?
Newcastle. Yeah, I think they're going along very nicely, even without Bradman Best. I think Shibasaki's an outstanding young player as well, so all good for the Knights.
The Knights. Em, who are you thinking?
I'm going the Knights as well. I was pretty impressed with the Saifidi boys last week and Big Clemmer, so, yep, I'm going with them.
Ryan Girdler?
Yeah, look, I was interested to see Coach O'Brien come out and say, I don't think we're going as good as what we all think. So he's certainly trying to keep a lid on their excitement up there, but they've been good the last couple of weeks, and I think that form will continue.
All right, thank you so much. Thanks to people of the King G as Triple M rocks the...
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.